It is February 6, 2014. Evan Turner, Spencer Hawes, Thaddeus Young, all on the Sixers. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Mike Levin of LibertyBallers.com. Who'd have thought we'd get this far and they'd all still be here? Certainly not Brett Brown. He wouldn't have thought it. He's expressed as much.
Yeah, that was a pretty bald answer.
Yeah. We got a lot to get to today. A lot to get to, believe it or not, with our terrible basketball team that hasn't traded anybody yet. At the end of the podcast, I will, just because we didn't get the whole thing in last week, this will be at the very end. If you don't visit the post on SpikeEskin.com, you didn't get to hear the full version of Trade Me, Oh Trade Me, the Sixers song. So I will throw that in as a bonus at the very end of this podcast. So a few things we have to talk about. We have to talk about Arnett Moultrie-Gate. We, of course, have to talk about the fact that no one has been traded. I'm sure we can talk about something not happening. I wanted to make sure I discussed Elliot Williams and Tony Roten's weeks, respectively.
Sure.
You had an everyday life Rights to Ricky Sanchez story that you would like to tell. But before we get to that, and I would like to sort of start off with that, I always ask about 15 minutes before we record if anyone has any topics or questions. And I normally get a lot of things that I get are normally things that we were going to address anyway. But today I happened to get two I thought were very funny questions that I wanted to pose to you to kick off the podcast. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First one comes from Fantasource and Paul Weasel, who were discussing World Be Free, I guess, at the Sixers-Celtics game last night. And their question is, if World Be Free suited up for one game with a green light to shoot at will, how many points do you think he could score for the Sixers right now?
Oof.
Legitimately.
I don't think he'd make a shot.
That's bold. No way.
I think nothing.
No, absolutely not. I think he'd score 8 points. Because, if we're going to say that he would, the guys don't like forget how to shoot. So I'm sure he knows how to shoot still.
He's not going to get open. He'd have to hit like a 35-footer, basically.
Don't you think they'd leave him open? They leave Rajon Rondo open.
I mean, he's incapable of getting open. He's old.
You're no fun.
I'm no fun.
Okay.
Realistic.
All
right.
Pragmatic. 8 points. And second question, and this one is maybe more of a mental conflict for me rather than for you. But the homie Jay on Twitter asks, if the 76ers could have Andrew Wiggins guaranteed, they'd guarantee you Wiggins right now, but his face would be Evan Turner's face, would you take the deal?
That's a great question.
Isn't it? Because I'm really conflicted. I don't know if I could deal with the notion, because what that would really be is Evan Turner being as good as Andrew Wiggins, and I don't know if I could handle that, you know?
Tough question. That's a jigsaw question.
It is, isn't it? What would you say? I don't think I could handle it. I'd take my chances with Jabari Parker.
It depends. It depends if it's like what the circumstances are. Like if it's oh man, he just looks exactly like Evan Turner, or if there's like some Darth Vader-esque like face lifting ceremony where he just gets it on. I don't know. I that's tough.
Isn't it? Because
I'd probably say okay, like I guess.
Because
Wiggins
even
has a nice face, like I like his face now. It's a nice face.
Because even Evan Turner fans, I feel like, are sick of his face at this point. You know, like it's gotten to the point where everybody is so over it, you can't even discuss it anymore. And the notion of potentially your game changing, your franchise changing superstar for the next 10 years having his face. What a great question. I love
that.
Love the listeners. So what is your Rights to Ricky Sanchez everyday life story?
It's very quick.
Okay.
There's a bunch of comedy shows that I go to a lot in Hollywood. I don't know if you've ever been to any UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade.
No, I haven't. I know what it is, but I haven't. Okay. I have not been there.
Okay. So anyway, there's a nice comedy theater that I go to all the time, and so I was there on Monday, and basically it's just improv, so they're making up whatever. And a lot of what they do is, you know, making up funny names of people. And there was a scene that they were improv scene that they were doing where it was in a classroom, and they were reading off attendance. And one of the names that the person, it was a girl, she's probably about 26, 27. One of the names she read off was Ricky Sanchez. And I was just like, I like sort of like perked up and like looked around to see if anybody was like, hey, any Sixers or Spain, anybody read this on my podcast? No? Okay.
No one else knows why this is funny here?
No, I was waiting for like someone to like look at me or anything. That wasn't happening. But it was definitely like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, it is sort of disappointing that we haven't made it into the general pop culture.
Yeah, I figured it would have happened by now.
Where people at UCB are all like, oh, you mean like the podcast? They don't even know who the player is. So I was last night, I actually think in the last two games, the Celtics game and was it Nets game that was right before the Celtics game, I think? Was it Nets and then Celtics, right? Tony Roten showed some, I'm always amazed when he decides to go to the basket, like when he decides to turn on the jets, as it were, how quick he can be getting to the basket. He's really impressed. The two things that I'm usually impressed with as basketball skills are the, at least not a skill, but how aggressive he can be defensively, like how much energy he shows defending it just on the perimeter. And I don't really pay attention to how they're all pretty bad on team defense, it seems like, but at least individually he seems like he's good, and how quick he is when he gets to the basket. And I know we've talked about him a lot, but at this point, with knowing what we know about sort of throwing the counting stats out, but just what we've seen visually, and maybe trying to throw away how much we love him in general, what is, like, realistically, how good can he be, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I think he's got a lot of like Jared Bayless in him offensively. Like, he's so fast. But he's not a good shooter. I mean, he's not a good shooter. And it's tough to, with the way he shoots, tough to see him ever looking like a good shooter. But he's super fast, and he does attack the rim with like really reckless abandon. Like, I remember when I was playing basketball growing up, my coach would say, like, on layups, like, you want to run as hard as you can into it and then go straight up at the end. So you can, you know, be there for the rebound and you're more in control. But Tony just runs fucking right through it. He's not really, like, he's hitting the cameraman almost every time. Like he's got a vendetta against him. And, I think, you know, it's fun to see that. Acquiring Roden was a good move, is still a good move. I don't think that he's I don't think he's like a franchise cornerstone.
No, in any respect,
and I don't think he's going to become anything more than like a, you know, maybe a poor man's what Leandro Barbosa was for those Suns teams earlier in the decade kind of thing.
It's just that I see, and I'm not saying that his upside
for better defense.
Right. And it's not that I just see guys like, I don't know. I'm certainly not comparing his upside to what Lance Stephenson is, but I see guys sort of when they're given, guys who are considered reckless and have like that, the lack of consciousness, you know, like lack of awareness, and sort of when you give them the ability to do those things a lot, you know, probably more than they should have, and sort of give them the opportunity to spread their wings and then pull it back rather than just every time they do one of those things, tell them no, you know, and not let that out, that there seems to be a, like, a lot of upside. And he doesn't seem like a bad guy. He doesn't seem like a, you know, a knucklehead at all. And, you know, when you say reckless abandon, it is reckless, but it doesn't oftentimes, he makes careless plays, But it doesn't seem like he is. It actually seems like he's become less careless to me as the season has gone on. He seemed like more irrational, heat checky early in the season than he seems now.
I'd agree. I know that I've heard that the players are sort of getting a little sick of him just because he's always got the green light,
right?
And he usually takes it. So
it sort of
we'll
seems
see.
Like they all always have the green light.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine that everybody's sick of everybody.
Yeah,
you know, for like almost every team, basically, it's like you see these guys. It's just like a it's like a group of very. I mean, it's like an office.
Well,
it's hard to imagine it like that. Like it's like an office.
Well, especially when the team's bad and everybody is sort of fighting for their piece, and every shot that goes up seems like a shot that you could be taking that could be adding to your stats. You know, I think there's a possibility. And actually, I'll skip ahead to this rather than the Elliot Williams thing, which I'll eventually get to. But
we better get to Elliot.
We will, because I saw some things I liked and some things that made me laugh over the last week. But I sort of feel like this season must be taking forever for a lot of the guys on the team.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of imagine, even as well as Michael Carter-Williams has played in general and how good the counting numbers are, he has definitely settled into an averageness, I think, like where the numbers are sort of lying, the counting stats are lying about how well he's played. And I wonder how... He looks to me, a lot of these guys I think are going to hit rookie walls, you know, or even second year walls, and have not only are they playing more games, but they're playing more minutes and they're playing at a pretty unsustainable pace. And I wonder when that's all, if we're going to see, regardless of trades, let's say trades out the window, if we're going to see a second half that isn't just much worse than the first half in just about every respect because of that.
Maybe, yeah. That seems realistic, actually, and something I didn't think of, because they're playing at such a fast pace, and there's not many legitimate NBA players on the team, really.
Right.
So even if they don't trade these guys, I think there will be just like a collective just like bummer of like an on-court attitude.
Right.
In the second half. Well, it's already... How many games have they played? They're 15 and what? 34? 15 and 34?
33, something like that. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Sure. They've lost 14 of 17.
In a row. Yeah. And they're basically one win ahead of the second worst record.
And the Magic look good. They kicked the crap out of the Pistons last night.
Yeah. Boy, are the Pistons bad. You know, and as an aside, has there ever been a coach in the NBA who... And I don't think the Pistons are constructed well. I'll throw that out there. But Maurice Cheeks continues to underperform wherever he is as a coach, and no one will ever trash him for it. You know, and I don't think we need to rip Maurice Cheeks. He seems like a great guy and was a really like a good player here, a very good player, a borderline Hall of Fame player. But he doesn't seem like he's a good coach at all anywhere that he goes, anywhere, you know?
He really does not. And he'll keep getting jobs. He's sort of the last vestiges of the old ball era.
Yeah. So as I was saying, there's only two teams, as much as we've complained about them winning too many games, there are only two teams in the NBA that have fewer wins than the Sixers. And I could certainly see the Magic having more wins than the Sixers.
Yeah.
So it might just be the Bucks. So, you know, and look, they could end up with the fifth worst record too. There are a couple of teams right in striking distance ahead of them as far as wins. You know, the Kings are there.
Last night, the Jazz were there.
Yeah, it was a great loss. It was a great loss for the Sixers. So Elliot Williams, real quick.
Yes. Elliot.
I have been very impressed. I'm really impressed with his athleticism. I hope he doesn't get hurt, because he's really bouncy is the word that I thought of when I was watching him.
Yeah, I mean, that's when when he played at Memphis and Duke, he was like a ton of athleticism, basically decent, not great size, but he's long and he can shoot outside. He was supposed to be like a good, like 3-and-D athletic two guard. And he's gotten hurt. He got hurt almost right away with Portland. And knee problems, which you know how bad those can be. And he looked good. Like, he's just looked good. Like, the shot has taken some time to get back in terms of, like, a comfort level. It took him certainly some time. But he's built himself up to be, like, he might be the most athletic player on the team. And certainly the most capable of just...
Well, until Jason Richardson gets back.
Yeah, he's ready. I've always liked Elliot Williams. I've always gone to bat for him, mostly because I'm an idiot and I like the bad guys in the Sixers. But he's the one with actually the most like talent of those guys: James Anderson, Hollis Thompson, Brandon Davies. Elliot Williams has a legitimate load of basketball talent.
The thing that made me laugh was against the Nets. He hit one shot and immediately went into heat check mode. He goes into heat check mode quicker than I've ever seen. And he can get a little long too-y occasionally during heat check mode. He took one last night. He actually made the shot, but it was as close to being a three-pointer. It was as close to being a three-pointer without being a three-pointer that you didn't think was a three-pointer it could be. Like, his foot was clearly over the line. It's not like his foot was on the line. It was a bad shot, but he made it. He went the Nets game. I was dying at how quickly he went into heat check mode. So if what's his name? If Tony Roten ends up injured for 10 days and they need a new guy to get annoyed at for taking too many shots, I think it could end up being Elliot Williams. He looks like he's got that in him somewhere.
Yeah.
I got a little nervous when he went to the locker room last night. It looked like he was hurt, but he came back out, and he was fine. So, Arnett Moultrie, about Arnett Moultrie gate real quick.
This is great. This is just what I needed.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, this is just what I needed.
He was...
Get me through to the trade deadline. This is just what I needed.
He was cleared for basketball activities about a month ago, and... You know, I had been asked about, I don't know about you, but I had been asked a bunch of times, hey, when is he going to play?
Yeah.
And then maybe 10 days ago or so, Brett Brown said that maybe as soon as a week we might see him. And then...
No, it's been longer. It's, for the past, like, month or two, it's been he's 2 weeks away.
Okay. Well, I for some reason, I remember a specific Brett Brown quote where he said maybe as soon as a week. But whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, Moultrie... In like in hilarious fashion of anyone to sort of spout off to the press about being unhappy. Notoriously unfit Arnett Moultrie spouts off to Chris Vito about how it's not his ankle and it's not his conditioning and he won't say what it is, but he is really upset that he hasn't gotten to play yet.
And he's sick of all the excuses.
Yeah. Really amazing. Just really amazing. And Brett Brown replied and said that this was not a reaction, but seemingly within 8 seconds of him saying that, he was sent to the D-League to play.
It was get the fuck out of here.
That's yeah. Well, and it was certainly, and Brett Brown said that Moultrie handled it well, you know, going down to the D-League. But Brett Brown pretty much said he's not in game shape yet. You know, that was what his reaction is. You know, it was funny when I wrote a quick thing about Chris, the quotes about and I was basically like, all right, well, here are the three options. The three options are, you know, he's about to be traded. As likely or as unlikely as all of these are, let's just, you know, open our minds. Okay, maybe they just don't want him to get hurt. He's about to be traded. The other thing could be, you know, they want to lose and they're keeping everybody out as long as they possibly can if they have any sort of injury. Or the third option was maybe Arnett Moultrie thinks he's in shape and he's not
That's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Because Brown's comment yesterday was... something like the fitness regimen or the conditioning is non-negotiable.
Right.
And I fucking just loved it. Like,
yeah.
He just fucking went to work on him. And I treated it like it was like a, do you remember that show, Yo Mama, with Wilmer Valderrama hosting, where it's like,
yes.
Yo Mama jokes,
yes.
back and forth? That's what I treated it. That's what it felt like to me. And Brett Brown just totally cleaned the whole floor with him.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
He's like, you're still fat, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, is what it is. And... And Arnett Moultrie is going to have to learn. If Lavoy Allen can learn, you know, if he can get there, then you can get there too, Arnett Moultrie. Just step it up, you know.
And you want to. Lavoy's looked good lately.
He's
playing solid ball, which I'm, you know, I'm proud of him for. He's hustling. He's making some plays. Good for him. And what right does Arnett Moultrie, who was drafted 27th last year, average like 3.7 points per game?
Yeah.
Wasn't coming out of Mississippi State as like a highly touted prospect. He's 21 years old coming out of school. He was like, there wasn't much there. The only reason the Sixers drafted him was because Doug Collins is a fucking idiot. What right does he have to like complain to the press? Like, do you think that's gonna do the trick for you? Like, are you Carmelo? Like, what's happening? Like, you're Arnett Moultrie. Nobody knows who you are. Most people forget you're on the team.
Well, let me ask you this, actually, because I hadn't even thought of this. What do you think Arnett Moultrie thinks it is? Like, what does he think that reason is?
Yeah, he has to think there's another one.
Right.
And
so what do you think he thinks it is?
The only logical one that I could think of, talking about it on Liberty Ballers, is he thinks they're holding him out because of tanking.
Oh. As if Arnett Moultrie is a...
Yeah, he'd make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'll really close out on the shooters.
I didn't see...
He'll be the one making the difference on wide open three.
I didn't see the numbers of when he... How many minutes did he get, do you know, when he played for the Sevens the other day? Or did he even play?
He played 21 minutes. He had an efficient 17 points, but the rest of his stat line was empty. There was like 3 rebounds and it's like, that's sort of what he does. It's like, bro, like, you're 6'11", like, get rebounds. And he's sort of uninterested on the defensive end. He's an offensive rebounder, but uninterested on the defensive end.
Speaking of the Sevens, do you think there's ever been another player to be shipped back and forth between
no.
the NBA team and the D-League team than
no.
Lorenzo Brown?
I love Lorenzo Brown.
Whatever.
I would have more respect if he went to the press and was like, I'm fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, Lorenzo, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, if he hasn't complained about having to go to Newark, Delaware 6 times a week, who's, like, no one has a right to complain. If Lorenzo
exactly.
Brown doesn't complain, then nobody can complain.
There's so much talent on that Delaware team. I'm so excited about it. I love it. You know, Matt Bolden, Gonzaga, you know Matt Bolden.
No.
Tiny Gallon, Oklahoma.
No.
Giannis's brother.
That one I know.
Vanderbilt's back on the team.
Oh, is Vanderbilt there? Is he? Was he on Team WAP?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you remember a few years ago, and this is, we could have had a podcast about this. The Sixers traded Kirilo Fisenko after drafting him to the Jazz for future consideration.
Yes.
Like 6 or 7 years ago, and the Jazz. Future consideration was, you know, fuck off, basically.
Yeah.
We'll consider telling you to get the hell out. And now Kirilla's on the Sevens, so I guess there's your considerations right there. There's just too much talent in Delaware. And they've won, like, a bunch of games in a row. They're, like, a good team, which is fun.
I can't. I'll take your word for it. I haven't.
Come on. Let's me and you go to a Delaware game.
I'd be more than happy to go to a game. I just don't have the life space to follow them, all that, but I'd be more than happy to go to a game. I think it would actually be hilarious. I would love to know what the price of concessions are at Sevens games for some reason.
Yeah, it's probably like Redding-esque.
Yeah, yeah, and those games are fun. Minor league baseball games are fun, except that the advantage of minor league baseball games is you have the ambiance of sitting outside at a minor league park.
I can't
imagine it's the same at a Sevens game. But
no, it might not be great. I'm speaking of going to the game, the Sixers play the Clippers in L.A. on Sunday, and I'm not sure if I should go, if I should try to get credentialed and be on the row for it? Be on press row? Or
yes. You should certainly try to go.
You think I should go?
Yeah. Yeah, you have so many limited your opportunities to see them live are so limited that I think you should. Absolutely. They're entirely unimpressive live. It's hilarious. you have to see it for yourself. I think so.
All right, maybe I'll try to go with Sharp and get a credential or something.
Yeah. You know, maybe reach out to your boy Spencer, you know?
Yeah, he can hook me up. I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure you can get a press pass, right? I mean, you can get a credential through the SB Nation fellas. I mean, don't they have some pull? That's a real organization there.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the
the Heat aren't there or something,
the
you
team.
Know.
It
yeah.
depends on the team, basically. It depends because we've had our difficulty. We've been credentialed a bunch, but Preston hasn't given us the full. It's like we're still trying to prove our mettle.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We've been around for a while.
But I'm saying, couldn't you just, for this one, you would reach out to the Clippers people?
Clippers, yeah.
They don't know that you write weird posts about sperm and stuff, so they don't have any idea, you know? Just write a really, official-looking post and send them that along with your request, your game.
You know, I don't even know that I could do that. I'll let you know if I go.
So
yelling things at Hollis Thompson from press row.
Before we get into the goofier portion of the podcast, where we'll do a little relationship advice, we'll do, of course, a jigsaw, play the full "Trade Me or Trade Me" song. Might as well. I don't even know what to talk about anymore with the trades. I guess people seem to be getting the locals seem to be getting restless that there haven't been any. It just seems like in the NBA, everything's going to wait until right before the deadline, or more people would have been traded by now.
I don't
really even know what to say. Because I don't know. We can only imagine what the offers have been. You know, I don't have any idea what the offers would be.
For
Turner and Hawes. I don't know. You know,
Jake Fisher reported basically that the Sixers aren't going out of their way to make trade offers. People are calling them. They're offering packages in the lower end, and the Sixers are like, okay, well, see ya. Which I think is good. I mean, there's been rampant debate on Twitter and on Liberty Ballers about the shortcomings of Sam Hinkie in terms of when he could have traded Evan Turner. And a lot of people are saying they should have just basically cut him if they couldn't trade him in December, or there was just an expiring, trade him for a contract, it doesn't matter. And I think there's more to consider than that, where it's just like, he's your leading scorer. You can't just trade him for a bag of chips. Like, it's more than just, you're not playing NBA 2K by yourself in your room. Like, it's a multi-million dollar organization where you can't pretend to fans like you're just losing on purpose. You can't do it. I mean, you just can't do it. So if they traded Evan Turner for Emeka Okafor, and that's it, I hurt Emeka Okafor, or just let him go entirely, then it's in December, when he's playing almost all-star level basketball, and that's a PR nightmare. You just can't do it. It's fun in a theoretical sense, where it's like, okay, how can we get the worst? How can we maximize our first round draft pick by being the worst team in the league by trading all these guys? But you can't give them away. You just can't do it, because there's more to consider than just what the product is and what you're trying to do. So, I'm sure we don't know what the trades were. That's the biggest issue. It's people are like, okay, what could you have got? Why didn't they trade him in December? Well, we don't know what they could have gotten in December.
Right.
Why are we waiting until now? Well, every team's waiting until now.
Yeah.
There hasn't been trades made. Teams are making trades. So if Sam Hinkie thinks there's a shred of chance that they could, some team would want him more and they could get a 2015 first rounder for Evan, or a a semi-contributing prospect for Evan, it's not like he's making them much better.
And
so,
that's one of the things that I've tried to point out is that he's not that good. All we talk about is how much he sucks. So you can't – there are many fewer bad general managers in the NBA now than there used to be. You know, and even the ones that are bad I think are less likely to want to be made a fool of by one of the smart guys, you know?
Yeah.
So – that doesn't mean that there won't be a deal for him. And again, I'm not saying that there haven't been offers for Turner, but what I'm saying is that we all know that if they get money back, that like it either has to be expiring money or it has to be money of a promising young player. So basically what we're saying is that like they to trade Evan Turner, you have to get a pick and a young player or a young player that has promise plus expiring money. Or the trade is just not worth it either way. You know, like if you're not getting expiring money, well, then Turner's worth more because you'd rather just let it go. And if you're just getting expiring money, then, well, you know, what's the difference anyway? So I still think he'll get traded. But like, you know, everyone points to that Celtics game where he hit the game winning shot. Well, he scored 16 points on 17 shots and also missed a key free throw down the stretch. Like,
yeah.
I know he hit that shot over Jared Bayless, but like he still did plenty to lose the game too. You know, like it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their play down the stretch and their success in close games is a statistical anomaly, and I can't
exactly
tell you why it happens. It's just it's luck. They've had good luck.
It's not like. I'm finding it tough to verbalize this. It's not like there's like moments in the season where Sam Hinkie sits down and goes, okay, now I'm going to decide if I'm going to trade him. And it's fluid. Like there could be conversations had in December where it's like teams are like, well, can you give you this? We'll give you this. And Sam's like, well, I think I can do better. And he's not going to be like, well, it's already December, so I'll just fucking trade him. Like you can't. It's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as saying you should have traded in December for some nameless, faceless trade that we may or may not have existed. And now it's like, now they have won X amount of games more because he's here. And I see the point on both sides.
Right.
And I sort of bounce back and forth. But the biggest issue to me is it's not as simple as just letting him go because you have to present something to a fan base. And the owner, I think Josh Harris is like, listen, I want to get a top pick as much as everybody, but you can't just cut our leading scorer. You can't trade him for, you know, a bag of Lays.
Or else everybody would. Or else, there are guys on every one of these tanking teams that is helping more than they're worth. You know, and you can't eventually there becomes like a like when you look at forget about the record that they have the third worst record. But when you look beyond that, they have been significantly worse than or at least noticeably worse than every other team except for Milwaukee. You know, like they put a team on the floor that we all agreed were bad. They're bad. And now, like, the other stuff is, I just think that, though I agree, I think a lot of it is everyone just is anxious and is sick of Evan Turner. And I totally get. Like, I've said a million times, I'm just sick of watching him. But
don't watch the games.
Yes, it is. And you'll get a lot better perspective on how bad they are if you just look at the results all the time of them losing by 10 and 20 and 6 out of 7 and 10 out of 12 and all that stuff. You'll forget about the wins a lot easier. But the other thing is that, like, there are a lot of things we can hypothesize about. And there are a lot of, like, would you do this or this or this? But one thing that we just have zero knowledge of, and even considering, with all due respect to the Jakes and Woj and Ken Berger and everybody reporting that who's getting calls on what, we have very little to no actual information or perspective on what anyone has been offered or what anyone has actually entertained in a real discussion. We just don't know. So we don't know if it was a if they should have traded them when they looked really good, because I'm still not convinced anybody would have offered them more than they're offering them now. So that's all.
Yeah. It seems everyone's waiting until the deadline. I hate that that exists, that it just seems like everybody's procrastinating on, like, making a decision.
Right.
Which is, like, why not give yourself more time to, like, consider it? But when the deadline comes, it's like, oh, finally got to do something good today. And there's just, everyone just sort of panics. So hopefully he capitalizes on that panic. Like, if the deadline comes and goes and Thad, Spencer, and Evan are all still on the team, then I would say that, yeah, it's a failure. It's a failure because you should have gotten something at least for Spencer, getting a top 20 protected first round pick next year or something. Like, there's something there. Like, he is a value, and you need to get some assets for him because he's expiring anyway. You may as well get something, and he can help teams. So I think he'll be gone, even if it's for a low price. He'll be gone, and he's. But if you can't say it now, like, the deadline is, no one's made trades. Like, the only trade you have is a Rudy Gay trade and, like, the Courtney Lee trade. Like, that's not much.
And
not happening.
Even given what we think about Evan Turner and what we know about Rudy Gay, Rudy Gay still has more, like, cachet than Evan Turner. Like, infinitely more cachet than Evan Turner. You know,
and also Evan Turner's expiring for the most.
Right.
He's got a qualifying offer, but, like, if teams really want him, and that's what they're saying, is, well, then we'll just not give up anything for him.
And get him next year.
And we'll sign him this offseason if we want him. So we know that you're not fucking picking him up.
So,
I mean, he's like probably like, well, you know, maybe. But they're not. They're not picking him up.
No.
His qualifying offer is going to go away, and he'll be a free agent.
Yeah. So what do you want to do first? Do you want to do your relationship advice that you want to bring up, or do you want to do the jigsaw?
Jigsaw.
All right. Say it again so I can play the music right after you say it.
Let's do the jigsaw.
I want to play a game. I want to play a game.
Talk about...
I want to play a game.
Talk about a phrase working its way into the pop culture lexicon. The jigsaw is all over the place. I was watching The Voice the other night. Somebody brought it up.
Oh, wow.
The jigsaw is when I present Mike with two undesirable options, and he has to pick one of them. Mike, for the first time, you've been asking, when will this include basketball? The jigsaw. You know, when will it not include sleeping with my mother or drinking a cup full of saliva? The answer, this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Here are your two options. Mike, would you rather go blind or, when you speak about anything regarding basketball, out of your mouth comes Doug Collins' thoughts and way of speaking involuntarily?
That's so, so barely about basketball. So essentially, I have the same thought process as Doug Collins.
Yeah, but I mean, it almost sounds as if you're doing a non-comedic Doug Collins impression. You know, like, not Dana Carvey's George Bush, where everybody knows you're teasing about Doug Collins and you just become this guy making this annoying joke where, ugh, he's doing the Doug Collins bit again. It's actually as if you have gone to Doug Collins school and you are, you know, you're preaching about running through your shoes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wish this was so much of the close of the race, but I think I'd choose the Doug Collins voice. I don't want to go blind.
Yeah.
That's upsetting. I wouldn't know that I'm an idiot.
Mike.
That I don't know as much about basketball as I think I do. That's what I would know, which is actually probably the case right now. I'd have these strong opinions, and I'd say I'd deliver them probably more clearly than I do right now, because Doug is a well-read, relatively friendly guy when it comes to talking in public.
Yeah.
But I just wouldn't have the knowledge that I'm totally full of shit, which is fine, which is better than going blind.
One would argue. All right.
But if it had to be like, it'd be tough. It'd be a tougher decision if I still had my thought process, but I had to talk like I was Doug Collins. That'd be tougher. Where I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. And it just comes out as Doug Collins.
Yeah.
That would be amazing too. All right. So relationship advice.
All right. Well, it's my own relationship advice. So I had the question is from me to me, from me to us.
Okay.
What happens when you have to take a shit on a first date?
Oh, good grief.
Because that happened to me last night.
Okay. And you're at a restaurant?
Yeah. So I was, I'll just give you the whole rundown. I went to karaoke, one of those like karaoke places where you have your own booth with your friends. So I went there with people from work, had a few beers, and then sang some O-Town, you know, normal stuff. And then went and picked her up, and then went to this restaurant, and I got another beer, and for whatever reason, and this is a restaurant I go to a lot, but I hadn't been there in a while, so I was like, oh, I'll get something new that I haven't done, and so I got chorizo mac and cheese.
Yeah. Oh goodness.
Yeah, and I have a very Jewish stomach, and I'm like, it's like mostly lactose intolerant, and like I just have, it's like shitting is like a it gets in the way of a lot of things in my life. So I should have been more like, hey, you already had a couple beers and chorizo mac and cheese, maybe just get like nothing or something else. So about 3/4 through the date, I'm feeling it. I'm like, fuck, this is not great. And so I excuse myself, go to the bathroom, and like, I'm really aware. Once that happens, like there's a clock. It's like, it's the shit clock. And once it crosses a certain point, she has to be thinking, oh, he's taking a shit. Like that's what it boils down to. So you have to, I'm trying to beat the clock of when it could be feasibly still a long one and like a nice long hand wash.
Yeah. So here are all of my concerns here. Since it's the first date, the concern I would imagine, you know, unless you think she's easy, that, you know, like that you're less worried about any sort of like residual. I don't even know how to say this.
Are you trying to say me having sex while I have to take a dump? Is that what you're saying?
No, like having sex after having, like, I like to be very clean all the time. And
okay.
If you're out on a date and you're using like a public restroom, there's no like, you know, there's no baby wipes, there's no there's no shower, there's no.
That's good. It's good to know that you use baby wipes. That's a big. That's a nice character point.
I actually have for like a decade, and the fact that it's become like mainstream is very, very, very positive to me. So
okay.
I will say that like, I think. So are you asking how much time you can take without her getting suspicious?
Well, it's that, and it's also like, what do you do? How do you broach it? Because here's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So I go to the bathroom. I toe the line, but probably crossed it. Come back. And then we're like a minute later, she's like, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And like, I'm like, while she's there, I'm like, this isn't great. Like, I still feel shitty. And I'm like standing up to try to like get it out. And plus like I was sitting on stools at this restaurant bar, and stools are always bad for everything. If I don't have the back support, then like,
yeah,
it's putting more pressure on my asshole.
Yeah.
So then she comes back, we talk a little bit more, and then I'm like, I was like, I have to. I basically was like, I have to. I owned up to it. I was like, I can't just like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom again. She'll think I'm like doing coke or something like that. I have to like tell her like. So, I basically was like, I have a shitty stomach.
No.
I was like, this is sort of bugging me. I'm gonna try to go to the bathroom, and I was like. I basically leaned into like, I don't want to burp in your face. Like, I went to burp, like, that happens. Like, I eat something and I burped. Like, bullshit. It was a bad play. But I basically had to lean into it, because if I didn't, then it would have made the whole rest of the date sort of stilted. If she was like, dude, you just fucking shit twice and you didn't say anything about it, so.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. On a first date, I would risk thinking that she thought I was doing coke before I would start talking about the fact that I have to go shit again. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
kind of my personality though. Like, I overshare.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm like very open about my shit.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I just I'm, you know, if let's say the shoe was on the other hand, right, or the poop was in the other body, and
there you go, nice work.
And the girl went like a second time, and I knew that she was shitting. I would be like okay with knowing that she was shitting as long as she didn't tell me, hey, I gotta go.
That's the opposite for me. Okay. Like if she told me if she was like, dude, like this makes me really shit. I would like ask her to marry me like right there. That would do it for me.
Nah, I like keeping up the mystery.
No, I'd show me everybody's shitting butthole at all times. I just wasn't sure because it's the first day. I don't know her very well.
Well, it's a good way to weed them out.
Yeah. But I'm not looking for a wife at this point. So I was just like, I'll try to reel myself in a little bit, like a little bit. And, it was definitely a cause for maybe like some, like almost like a third quarter collapse. We came out of the locker room, like really didn't make the halftime adjustments. Like it sort of just like stalled. And then we got past it. Like totally got past it. And turned out okay.
All right. With that, hopefully
everyone stopped listening hours ago.
Hopefully the song we leave you with is indicative of what happens by next week. Let's hope the next Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast has a discussion of a trade. So we leave you with Stephen Merkel's Trade Me, Oh Trade Me, sung to the tune of Hang Me, Oh Hang Me from the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack. Good show, Mike, and thanks for the
shit. This one goes out to Dwayne Dedman.
Yes. Yes. And thanks for the shit story.
You got it, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Trade me, oh, trade me. I'll be packed and gone. Trade me, oh, trade me. I'll be packed and gone. I don't mind the losing, but when Brandon Davies dunks upon the rim, I've been all around this world. Been all around Wells Fargo and touched by Doug's kitty gloves. Been all around Wells Fargo, touched by Doug's kitty gloves. Took so many goddamn long twos, I could join the Josh Smith Club. Poor fat, I've been all around this world. Evan dribbled to the top of the key. There he made his stand. Evan dribbled to the top of the key. There he made his stand. He rose up like Jordan, shot the ball into a hand. Timeout, he gotta post a pic to Instagram. Nailed a three-game winner, should have done the finger gun dance. Nailed a 3-game winner, should have done the finger gun dance. Last thing I heard Spencer say, check out my Mitt Romney underpants. Poor Thad, I've been all around this world. So trade me, oh trade me, I'll be packed and gone. Trade me, oh trade me, I'll be packed and gone. Tried to talk to Sam Hinkie, but he was swimming with a swan. That boy, he turns gravel into chiffon.